Please open your Bibles, first of all, to Proverbs chapter 6. I'm going to be looking at a number of scriptures. I'm going to pause, try to give you time to look at them when I call them out. And so I'd like for you to see this. I want to talk about tonight a topic that's probably pretty prevalent in our day. The problem of pride, dealing with pride. I hope the Lord will use this in your life. These thoughts have been a blessing to me. Sin that easily besets us. For a lot of people, it's the sin of pride. The Bible says here in Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 16 that it's at the top of the list of things that God hates. Look at this. These six things does the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look. There it is, number one in the list. A lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. Seven things there that God hates. That's powerful language, isn't it? God hates these things. There are a number of quotes. These are not new to you. You probably heard them from me before, but there are some of the quotes when I think about pride. I always find these. Abraham Lincoln, in his proclamation of a day of national humiliation, fasting, and prayer, it's been in 1863, he said this, "We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. We have forsaken God, but we have forsaken God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. We have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God that made us, too proud to pray to the God that made us." I think America's a lot here. But you know, it's easy to talk about unsaved world. What about us? What about our hearts? Are we sometimes proud? Are we thinking that a lot of what we do is because, you know, we've developed these skills, we've learned this, we've learned that? God needs to get the glory for all. But pride is something that can easily cause us to stumble and walk in the shadows. Someone said, "Pride is the only disease that makes everyone sick but the one who has it." You've heard that before, but it is true, isn't it? You think about it. Don't you recognize when somebody's proud? You can tell. You can hear it in their voice, and you can sort of see it in their mannerisms. David Rhodes said, "Pride is the dandelion of the soul. Its roots go deep. Only a little left behind sprouts again. Its seeds lodge in the tiniest encouraging cracks, and it flourishes in good soil. The danger of pride is that it feeds on goodness." It's unlike most sins. The sin of pride is so foolish it's laughable. You've heard this before. Did you ever hear of the clever salesman who closed hundreds of sales with this line? He said, "Let me show you something several of your neighbors said you can't afford." And he sold a lot of his goods. Pride will keep you from saying, "I'm sorry." It'll keep you from saying, there are people who never say, "I'm sorry." Do they think they never make mistakes? Do they never speak out of turn? They never say, "I was wrong. I need help. I don't know." Or, "I love you." Pride keeps us from saying the things that we really ought to say. The Bible says to speak a word in season. Pride keeps us from speaking those words in season. Pride was the original sin, wasn't it? Look at Isaiah chapter 14. These are the five I wills of Lucifer. And sort of puts things in perspective as to who he is and what he's up to. Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 12, Satan's I wills. And the Lord asked, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart," and here you can count them, "I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit," the Lord told him. Interesting passage, isn't it? The first sin in God's creation, the I wills of Satan. And then it wasn't very long after that, he caused other people to be tempted and to commit sins, like Adam and Eve, the first man and woman. Look at Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve, and the temptation in the garden that came to Eve, but Adam was there and he partook as well. Listen to how it happened once again. Genesis 3, verse 2, "And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the tree, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it," she said, "lest ye die. The serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." And that's sort of the end of his sales pitch. And when the woman saw, verse 6, she saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eye, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave it unto her husband with her, and he did eat. What words suggest that there was some pride involved? Look at verse 6. Okay. To make one wise. Ooh, that sounds good. I wouldn't mind being wise, to be like God, to be wise, to know good and evil. So it was a tree to be desired to make one wise. And she wanted that. That was a temptation to her. Would it be a temptation to you? If a snake, a serpent. Serpents aren't accustomed to talking, but this one did, and gave her this prize information. Yeah, it would be tantalizing, I'm sure, to any of us. We like to point our fingers at Adam and Eve, but hey, we're all sinners by birth and by choice. This sin has been labeled the pride of life, the pride of life. And the same snare is set for us, isn't it? The Bible says in 1 John 2:16, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh," can you say the next one? "The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life," there they are, "the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." These are of the world. And Satan uses them because he can, and he would love to see us fall. I'm going to look at Luke chapter 18, at the Pharisees' sin, this particular Pharisee that the Lord spoke of in Luke chapter 18 and verse 11 had a statement to make, a request of the Lord, and a thanksgiving to the Lord. But listen to the pride. He said in verse 11, "The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican here. I'm thankful that I'm not like they are." And who is he? Who is this? This is a Pharisee. This is a Pharisee. One who is he's entrenched in this path of pride, and he's happy he's not like other men. So here's examples. How about Revelation chapter 3 and verse 17? Revelation 3:17. You got the churches there, the seven churches of Asia Minor. And the Lord is speaking to them, to the pastors of those churches, the angels of those churches, or messengers. And the last church is Laodicea, chapter 3 and verse 17. The Lord says to them, Revelation 3 and 17, because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. He thought more of himself than he really was, an issue of pride. There are Bible examples of this all over the place. The disciples, the Lord would ask them, what were you talking about? And they were talking about who would be the greatest in the kingdom. And Salome came and wanted to ask the Lord, can one of my sons sit on one side and the other on the other side in the kingdom? All sorts of examples of this. And I'm glad for those examples. It's common. It's common among us. And we need to accept the fact that, hey, we can go there too. And we can stumble off into this darkness real quickly if we're not careful. I want you to go over to 1 Peter next, 1 Peter chapter 5. And I want to talk about the results of pride. The result of pride. There's several of them, actually. But none before this one, none before this one, the broken fellowship with God. Pride is something that we could all be guilty of and probably are. And one of the first results is it breaks our fellowship with God. And it's our doing. It's our doing. Because pride is sin and God cannot fellowship with sin, then we brought this on ourselves. We broke the fellowship. And where will you find God? Right back where you left Him. Because you walked away from Him. You walked away from God and took up this particular sin. It's actually worse than it sounds because the Bible says, as you know, in 1 Peter chapter 5, which we studied on Sunday, listen to this, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. Do you remember why? Why be clothed? Because for God resisteth the proud. God resisteth the proud. So it's really worse than just losing fellowship. Resist is to range in battle against or set oneself against. How do you think you'll fare if God resists you? Not very well, obviously. God chastens those that He loves, as we'll see here in just a minute. You see, broken fellowship and the examples of pride that we talked about before, back in Isaiah chapter 14. I should have told you to stick a bulletin there. But in chapter 14 in Isaiah, and then we're going over to Ezekiel, Isaiah 14 verse 15, we see what happens to Satan. Let me ask you, do you know what happened to Satan because of his sin of pride? I will. He was cast down. He was cast down. Isaiah 14, 15 and 16. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit, we read. Verse 16 says, They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms? So he's going to be cast down, and this exalted cherub, as he was, this exalted cherub, people are going to look at him and they're going to scorn him. And they're going to say, is that all it is? That's what made all of this trouble? This being? This man, he says? Over in Ezekiel chapter 28, continuing to talk about Satan as an example of pride, Ezekiel 28:14. Ezekiel 28:14 says, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. In verse 17, thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. So he's gonna bring him down to the very basest level. Satan was cast down. Fellowship was broken. He was in the presence of God. He was the anointed covering cherub, and he's now completely out of fellowship with God, even as a spirit being, an angel. You know, in Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve, what happened to them? Satan was cast down. They were cast out. In Genesis 3:8, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. That's amazing to me. And Adam and his wife had hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And verse 23 says, therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So pride destroys the fellowship. Now, let's don't just keep it in Bible characters. Let's ask here, has your fellowship been broken by pride lately? Have you had to confess pride lately? See, pride separates us from God. It's a sin. It's a sin, and God takes it seriously. And God will oppose you. He'll resist you in your pride. So fellowship is broken as soon as that's a part of our being, every day perhaps. Pride is a sin of God. Pride is a sin, and God chastens sin and his children when they walk in sin. You know, Hebrews 12:6, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. The result of pride always begins. It always begins with this broken fellowship. Brothers and sisters, maybe that's what's wrong with us at times. Maybe it's pride. Do you ever struggle with pride? I can confess to you, I do. It's weird kind of pride too. It's not what you think maybe, but I see it in my own life sometimes. That sounds like pride. That sounds prideful. And the first of the results is that our fellowship is broken with God. And then the day doesn't go well. We would do good to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God early every morning and live the day in His presence. There's another result, shame. Proverbs 11 and verse 2. Proverbs 11 and verse 2. While you're turning, let me share this little illustration. There was a young woman who asked for an appointment with her pastor, said she had a besetting sin that was really worrying her, and she wanted to talk to him about it. And so they set up an appointment, and she said to the pastor when she got to his office, "Pastor, I have become aware of a sin in my life that I can't control. Every time I'm at church, I begin to look around at all the other women, and I realize that I'm the prettiest one in the whole congregation. None of the other ladies can compare with my beauty. What can I do about this sin?" she asked. And the pastor replied, "Mary, that's not a sin. Why, that's just a mistake," he said. Doesn't pride sort of end up there, though? Have you ever, I wish I could just ask for a show, have you ever experienced this, the shame that comes when you sort of get found out, when you sort of get proven? It's not like you were bragging. It's not like you were feeling about yourself. The Bible says in Proverbs 11:2, when pride cometh, then cometh what? It comes shame. You believe it? You get proud? You stay proud, shame's coming. You're going to lose your fellowship with God, and then you're going to be shamed because of your foolish pride. But with the lowly is wisdom, it says. Claiming to be the greatest or even claiming even to be capable of something seems okay until you're forced to come to grips with the fact that you're obviously not. I can't do that as good as I made like I could. I can't do that. I can't perform like I was saying. I'm having a bad day. Paul asks in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, "For who maketh thee to differ from another? Who makes you different than everybody else? If you can sing, if you can do mechanical work, if you can build, if you can preach or teach, or you can whatever. Who made you able to do that? It was God. It was God. And then God gives you the strength to do it too. You don't know how to appreciate it till it's gone either, do you? I'm learning that more and more. It was God. God did it all. Who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? And if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it?" This is not about them. This is about me. This is about you. Pride will break your fellowship just like that. All it has to do is well up a little bit on the inside and your fellowship's broken because now you're living in sin. And if you stay there, you're going to be shamed. So says the Bible. There's a third consequence, if you will, and that is destruction. I'm going over to Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 12. Proverbs 18:12. Proverbs 18:12. I'll let you get there. Talking about destruction. Pride is a sin, and sin causes death and destruction. Spiritual death in the life of an unbeliever. We're not going to die if we're alive. We're born again. We have life, and it's real life, and it's everlasting life. So we won't lose that life, but it will surely destroy. It'll destroy our life here on earth. What will? Well, sin. What sin? Pride. Pride will destroy your life. Look at verse 12 of chapter 18. "Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility." Now, do you believe that? Do we actually believe that to be true? Before destruction, the heart is haughty. So a haughty heart, a pride heart, there's going to be destruction. In a humble heart, there's going to be honor. So says the Lord. How many of you ever heard of Petra? Petra is about 50 miles or so south of the Dead Sea. It was in the territory of Edom. Edom would have been one of Esau's descendants. And they were a proud people. And particularly proud of this city in the rocks. Literally carved in the side of a mountain. You've seen pictures of it? Really quite an amazing feat. They carved buildings and caves back into the rocks. And they had a city. And the only way to get into it was a narrow pass. And it was defendable from anything. You had to be an eagle to get there, unless they allowed. And they were really proud about it. And the Bible tells us, I'm in Obadiah. Give you a second to find them. Go to Obadiah. The Bible tells us that God judged them in their pride, and He told them, "You're going to be destroyed." And they were. They were. And if you go over now, you see the ruins of Petra, still carved in the rock, still quite an amazing thing to see, but not inhabited except by campers and individuals who hike through the valley there. In Obadiah, we're looking at verse 1. "The vision of Obadiah, thus saith the Lord God concerning Edom. We have heard a rumor from the Lord, and an ambassador is sent among the heathen. Arise ye, and let us rise up against her in battle. Behold, I have made thee small among the heathen. Thou art greatly despised. Listen to verse 3. The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. The pride of thy heart hath deceived thee. Thou that dwellest in the cleft of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? Though thou exalt thyself as an eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. And so he did. The end, the result, the consequence of our pride is destruction. God will destroy. He'll destroy our fellowship with him. We destroy our fellowship with him. And then we're shamed, and if we keep it up, then there's going to be destruction. I thought illustrations would be helpful. On the evening of August 31st, 1986, not so long ago, the Soviet cruise liner Admiral Nakhimov set sail from Novorossiysk on the Black Sea. The 575-foot passenger liner was the flagship of the Black Sea cruise fleet of the 50s and was carrying, at that time, 884 passengers, 346 crew members on its voyage to Odessa. Shortly after 11 p.m., the 50-ton freighter Pyotr Vasiev was spotted on a collision course with a cruise liner. Marine safety workers warned the freighter it was on a collision course with the Admiral Nakhimov, but the freighter's captain failed to take evasive measures. At 11:20 p.m., many of the passengers had already gone to bed. The freighter struck the cruiser, sinking it in 8 minutes. 448 people died in the accident, and they investigated, as they would. And the investigation revealed that the cause of the accident had nothing to do with technology. It wasn't a radar problem, no malfunction, no thick fog. The cause was human stubbornness. Each captain was aware of the other ship's presence nearby. Both could have steered clear, but according to news reports, neither captain wanted to give way to the other. And each was too proud to yield first. By the time they came to their senses, it was too late. Pride destroys in various ways, but it destroys. We have God's word on that. Pride destroys not because it's the nature of man to bring down the proud, though it is. Remember in the settling of the West, the fastest gun. And everybody wanted to take on the fastest gun. Everybody wanted to be the fastest gun. And so the fastest gun didn't stay the fastest gun very long. It's not because man wants to bring down the proud, but it's the fact that pride destroys because God resisteth the proud. To have Almighty God resist me, that's a fearful thought, isn't it? Another statement is in Proverbs 16:18. Proverbs 16:18. You know this one probably. Let's see if you can fill in the blanks. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Destruction and a fall. New word. In business, if you're proud, if your pride grows, your business won't. You say, But I know a business that... Well, wait a minute. Keep watching. Because the moral law, God's law, if pride grows, your business will not make it. God will cause it to fall. Proverbs 29:23, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. So the end result in pride is exactly the opposite of what it promises, what it boasts of. We feel like we're high, we're exemplary, we're We're way above the others, and pride will bring us low. The results of pride. How do we win? How can you beat pride? Do you struggle with it? How do we win? 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We can start there, right? As soon as you realize you're proud, Lord, I'm sorry I've fallen into this pit again. Lord, I sense my pride. Please forgive me. Please forgive me. And He will. Immediately you're forgiven. There's a new way that we need to think about ourselves then. Instead of, I'm great, we need to be saying, the Lord sure is good to me. Instead of I'm great, it's giving the glory to the Lord, a renewed mind. I beseech you, therefore, brethren. By the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then what? And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. A new way to look at ourselves. Confess our sins and then put ourselves in perspective. See us as God sees us. See ourselves as God sees us. Thirdly, we should, 1 Peter 5:6, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God. You know that one? Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you in due time. You get down there and God will lift you up, but it'll be Him that does it. Humble yourselves. You'll enjoy the strength of God as you realize your weakness. It'll be great when God lifts you up, when God exalts you, and you didn't do it yourself. I remember Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Brothers and sisters, I don't know about you. I only know me. I know me pretty good. But I suspect, since we're all made out of the same stuff, that you can relate to this issue of pride. And maybe we don't take it seriously enough. Maybe we should consider the results of pride, the consequences of pride, and then very quickly take care of it when we recognize it in ourselves in the morning, tomorrow morning, or maybe before we go to bed tonight, and just confess it. And then start to look at yourself in a different light and humble yourself before God. You know, the Master was searching for a vessel to use. On the shelf there were many. Which one would He choose? Take me, cried the gold one. I'm shiny and bright. I'm of great value and I'll do things right. My beauty and luster will outshine the rest. And for someone like you, Master, gold would be best. The Master passed on with no word at all. He looked at a silver urn, narrow and tall. I'll serve you, dear Master. I'll pour out your wine. And I'll be at your table whenever you dine. My lines are so graceful, my carving so true, and my silver will always compliment you. Unheeding, the Master passed on to the brass. It was wide-mouthed and shallow and polished like glass. Here, here, cried the vessel, I know I will do. Place me on your table for all men to view. Look at me, called the goblet of crystal so clear. My transparency shows my contents so dear. Though fragile am I will serve you with pride. And I'm sure I'll be happy your house to abide. The Master came next to a vessel of wood, polished and carved. It solidly stood. You may use me, dear Master, the wooden bowl said.
but I'd rather you use me for fruit than for bread. Then the master looked down and saw a vessel of clay, empty and broken, it helplessly lay. No hope had the vessel that the master might choose to cleanse and make whole, to fill and to use. Oh, this is the vessel I've been hoping to find. I'll mend it and use it and make it all mine. I need not the vessel with pride of itself, nor the one who is narrow to sit on my shelf, nor the one who is big mouth and shallow and loud, nor the one who displays his contents so proud, not the one who thinks he can do all things just right, but this plain earthy vessel filled with my power and might. Then gently he lifted the vessel of clay, mended and cleansed it and filled it that day, spoke to it kindly, "There's work you must do. Just pour out to others as I pour into you." I thought that was a nice poem, well worded, a blessing. Brothers and sisters, I want this to be a blessing. A blessing because we heed it, because we consider ourselves proud as we are, and that we forsake that sin on a daily basis, so that God might richly bless us and bless others through us. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to share these thoughts. Lord, not very preachy, perhaps, but I pray, Lord, it would touch our hearts, cause us to think of ourselves and Lord, our foolish pride. Help us to be a humble church. Help me to be a humble pastor. Help us, Lord, to be a humble congregation. And Lord, we know that begins in the individual. Lord, please help us that we might be blessed for Jesus' sake. Amen.